Advancements in the medical field are giving nurses faster, more effective results than ever before. They should expect the same from their education, too. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath format allows you to set your own deadlines and leverage your experience to move faster through your program. So the faster you move, the more money you save. When you're ready, we'll be here. Visit capella.edu for a trial course at no cost to you. Capella University. Don't just learn, learn smarter.
Welcome to the porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. We're in Walk in the Spirit Part 3. I hadn't planned out in going multiple parts, but it is. We're going to take an in-depth look at the gifts of the Spirit tonight by examining their aspects individually as they pertain to the kingdom of God. So welcome. The Porch Online Bible Study has been here to take a deeper look at how the early church served the Lord, and hopefully we could replicate that and bring back the world-shaking influence the early church had. And we do that by not watering down the word, not manipulating it, but taking it as it's written in the Hebrew and the Greek and what the original meanings were and applying them, because we believe the church age is still in effect. The fire still falls. We have a job to do, and it's time to rise up and do it. The Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. Go to onsolomonsporch.org if you want to contact us, or firefalltalkradio.com. You can contact us there as well and also find ways to support us. We appreciate those of you that do. Make sure you bookmark the Spreaker site, because you just never know when I'll do another special edition broadcast of Overwatch or something else. I plan on just spontaneously posting things, so you'll want to know that they're there. California wildfires, well, it's become old news. It's not old news to the people experiencing it. 84 dead, 800 still missing. Plus the animals, don't forget them. One rescue group has posted an online catalog of 2,000 pets found. I really hope they find their owners and their owners find them. 80 acres a minute burned, so far 400 square miles scorched. Rain is coming, and now they're fearing that that rain will bring mudslides, will be catastrophic mix of mud, boulders, trees, and other debris flowing downhill with tremendous force. One of the members of the U.S. Geological Survey, Jason Keene, said those debris flows have the consistency of wet concrete, move faster than you can run. It's like a flood on steroids, and a big one can take out two-story buildings. 81 of the deaths were in Camp Fire, Northern Butte County, Paradise, California. The smoke is seen all over the state of California. Golden State, San Francisco is suffering from it. They're saying you can see it as far away as New York City. 80% contained. Please remember them tomorrow. For this Thanksgiving, many people are going to be living in shelters, tents in parking lots, or their cars. And also the people from North Florida, Hurricane Michael. We forget these people as if they're old news, and they're not. So when you pray tomorrow and you're thankful to God, say a prayer for them. I'm thankful. I'm going to get ahead of the praise reports and prayer requests and deal with the Thanksgiving part of it. This has been a tremendous year for us, especially with the birth of our son, Jason James, little JJ. And I'm thankful every day for everything the Lord's ever done for me, for my home, for my wife, my family, our furry kids, everything that he's given us. It's a blessing to serve him and to be his son. I'm thankful for this ministry. and for the protection that he offers it, me and all of us. I am thankful for the dreams and the visions and everything that's going on in the spirit right now, which could easily overwhelm, but I keep my eye on the bigger picture and what it all means. I praise him that his healing virtues still flow. Deliverance still happens. I praise him for the ability to praise him. Our brothers and sisters around the world are being persecuted. They're being slaughtered. They're being thrown into prison. We don't have that here, at least not yet, and hopefully not in the foreseeable future. So be thankful tomorrow when you pray. Be thankful for the Lord. Be thankful for your salvation. Be thankful for the cross. Be thankful for America. And be thankful for the fact that he's getting ready to return. My prayer, again, as always, is for the Middle East, the peace of Jerusalem, which means the Prince of Peace returns, for the fatherless, the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice, our persecuted brothers and sisters like Asia Bibi, who are imprisoned, slaughtered, persecuted for their faith. I pray for divine wholeness, health, and healing in all of us and my wife and all of you. We need to remember one another. You know, I know that the Spreaker app lets you know when the shofar comes, and most people know that the teaching comes after the shofar. And sometimes in the stats, I see that everything drops off during this period of time. People don't want to hear this. Well, the sense of family and connection around the world, whether you're in South Africa or you're in Texas or you're in Alabama or New York or wherever you might be listening, you are connected. And maybe you don't have a church. Maybe you don't have, you are the church. Maybe you don't have a home family, a home group or whatever. So that's why I do these praise reports and prayer requests, to keep us all connected. And if you want to participate, if you're connected to me on social media, send it there. Go to FirefallTalkRadio.com. Go to OnSolomonsPorch.org. Go to any one of the Twitter accounts. And just say, I have a praise report and a prayer request. But we need to get it right. We need to pray for his blessings to flow. The sick need healing. People need deliverance. The remnant needs to rise up. I don't know how else to say it. And answer the call to action. And if you've been blessed, be a blessing. We have needs. Firefall has needs. The Porch has needs. We have goals. We're going to roll in 2019. I'll talk about that at the either the end of the year or the beginning of the year. New things are going to happen. Nick in Dallas, the beginning of the week, sent me a prayer request for his father, who was in the hospital with breathing difficulties. I don't know how that turned out. He didn't follow up. He asked for prayer for healing, patience, for the doctors and the nurses to be on point, and for his mother to have peace of mind and dealing with the stress and the worry. Stacy in Texas, thankful to be home this Thanksgiving for my family, furry kids, and like-minded believers in my life. Please continue to pray for me, my marriage, my family, as well as our house would sell. Praying everyone suffering, struggling this holiday season. Many have lost everything. And praying for her best friend, Kim, as well. You know, back to those people in California and North Florida and Texas. Some people lost everything. They have nothing. I saw a picture of one of the Walmart parking lots where people are living in California, and they were just boxes upon boxes of clothes with sizes on them. And I'm thinking, some of these people were probably wealthy. They probably lived in really nice homes. And now they're digging through boxes, looking for clothing. Definitely a humbling experience and a traumatic experience. I read a story about somebody out in California that had a very large farm that he used as a refuge and a rescue. He had peacocks and alpacas and horses and dogs and all these things. And apparently they're all gone. They all perished. I can't imagine his pain. I just been dwelling on this a lot, to pray for these people. Kim in Fort Mitchell says he's doing good. She's grateful with being loved by her Heavenly Father for our salvation, paid for by the blood of Messiah. What a price he paid, yes. May our blessings never spoil us, because they do and they will. Grateful for her sobriety and her family, for her children, friends Stacy, Bruno, her dog, this ministry, for the air in her lungs, clean water, food on the table, and a roof over our heads. Just asking, Father, please protect my children, my family, the Porch families, our pets and possessions. Praying for healing over minds, bodies, and souls. Praying for blessings and favor for every family represented here. She asks, Father, bless SRT, let your spirit flow through us so we can be a light in the darkness. Help us to help each other in these dark times. Clear our minds from these distractions by the enemy. Help us to forgive each other, love each other, like you love us, in Yeshua's name. Father, I just come to you now boldly. I approach the throne of grace and mercy. Actually, I run headlong to it, to you. I pray for all your children that are suffering right now. I pray that you would send the peace that surpasses all understanding to touch them heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit, to envelop them in your glory and in your presence. Wrap your wings around them, Lord. Send your angels to minister to them. If they have furry family members that are in that catalog of 2000, lead them to them. Bring a moment of light into this time. I pray you touch them tomorrow, and that they would praise and that they would worship you, and those that know you would share the gospel with others, and that this would be a massive move of the Spirit upon people that need you. We need you. We need your love. We need your blessings. We need your healing virtues. We need our minds to be clear, our hearts to be pure, our hands to be ready to serve you. We need our bodies to work right so that we can do what you need us to do. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for what you endured, the price you paid. We thank you for the fact that you are alive again. You rose from the grave. You sit at the right hand of the Father in fullness and power, and we sit with you in the heavenly places by your grace and your mercy, and you sent back your Holy Spirit to fill us and to walk with us and teach us and empower us. So touch us tonight. Let us hear what we need to hear. Let us be moved. Let us be filled with your fire. In Yeshua's name, amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information, the matter presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or used without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Yeshua accursed, and no one can say that Yeshua is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to misunderstand this. I don't want you to be misinformed. The word ignorant in the Greek means not to know through lack of information or intelligence. By implication, it means to ignore through aversion or unwillingness. And it's a verb, the action of being ignorant. And as I was reading that scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:1 through 11, realizing that these gifts were supposed to be spread out amongst us. And I move in all the gifts that were mentioned. I have since I got saved and delivered. And I know some other people that do, like Pastor Shelley. And I realized maybe it wasn't supposed to be that way. But because so many people are ignorant, either through lack of information or unwilling, they've been mistaught, the Spirit had to use people for more things than one. It amazes me that in the midst of just reading that out loud, that light bulb moment of, oh my goodness, if everybody just did what they were supposed to do, nobody would be burned out. Nobody would be overwhelmed. Nobody would be having to do more than they should. But because the harvest is great, the laborers are few, and so many are ignorant, he's had to use us in greater ways. Romans 12, 6 through 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Again, the Spirit desired to use each and every one of us in a specific way for the working of the entire body, but because so many are ignorant, parts of the body are being burned out. Whatever skills and gifts we would have been given by our Heavenly Father was to be used to serve Him in His kingdom. HaSatan, Satan, has deceived us into thinking that it was inwardly focused. It was focused on us. We could be special. We could be superstars. We could stand out from the rest. We weren't supposed to stand out from the rest. Our blessings were to serve Him. The one thing I've been getting from these Bible studies and these teachings and preparing them, and it's been a tremendous blessing as I've realized that a lot of what I was taught, well-meaning, when I first got saved, was wrong. A lot of what is being taught today is wrong. A lot of what is being promoted from the pulpits and the TVs and the stages, whether in word or music or whatever, is wrong. Satan has been brilliant with the drip, drip, drip of the poison of false teachings into the pure water that the Lord gave us. And here we are, 2018, almost 2019, and we've not gotten the job done. I, therefore, the person of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called. If you haven't opened your Bibles or your apps or whatever you're using, go to Ephesians 4. This is where we're going to be building from. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Messiah's faith. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? And if you don't know what that means, it means before he rose up to the Father. He went and got the first fruits of the righteous dead in Sheol and brought them with him, emptied out the righteous part of Sheol and brought them as first fruits to the Father. He also gave a parting word, apparently, according to Jude, to the fallen watchers that were imprisoned in the pit. Picking up verse 10, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And here it is, verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Messiah, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Messiah, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Again, over and over and over, it was supposed to be a unity thing. They were never supposed to be superstars. They were never supposed to be all of the things that has taken over the body. Walking in the Spirit, what does this mean? How does this apply? Well, you got to walk worthy of your calling. Here's another. This was another light bulb moment today. As I tied all the scriptures together and I saw the meaning, this is where I realized I have been taught erroneously. What calling? To walk worthy of the calling in which you were called. Now, most people would tell me, well, my calling is this. I'm called to preach. I'm called. No, that's not what this means. The calling is salvation. Let me say that again. We have been misguided, if you will, which is why we're so fractured and ineffective. The calling of salvation. Believers are to live in a manner worthy of their calling to salvation. How do I know that? Philippians 1:27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Messiah, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Colossians 1:10, though you make walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. I don't see any avocation or jobs mentioned there. We have been called by God. We've been called into salvation. We've been called into right relationship. Ephesians 1:4 through 5, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Further down in verse 11 of Ephesians 1, in him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. In the Old Testament, a call was an invitation or to be summoned. God called Adam. Moses called the elders together. Joel gave a command to a solemn assembly in Joel 1:14. There was an invitation to come. The second aspect of the verb is the sense of calling on God as if to pray. We see it throughout the Old Testament. They were called, they called on the Lord. The third sense of the word to call is in, it's the sense of naming, like God called the day day and night, heaven and earth, name the animals, or a person being Jacob, or a city, the city of David. The other calling of God is the call to do something for him. Now, this is service. It's not an avocation. It's not a job. The call of Moses, the call of Samuel, things like that. Nowhere in here in the New Testament, like when I get to it, will you see that the word call means a job. The calling is to salvation. The calling is to the Great Commission. There's no, well, I'm called to this office. No, you're not. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Israel was called to the election of God, to be separate, to be special. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I've even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. Isaiah 45:4. The call to salvation and to function as his witnesses was upon Israel. Now, in the New Testament, the meaning to invite or summon is seen clearly in the parables of the great banquet in Luke 14 or the marriage feast in Matthew 22. Again, it is what? It is a calling or an invitation to salvation, to freedom, to fellowship with him. It's also an upward call, Philippians 3:14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Messiah Yeshua. It's an upward call to a heavenly relationship. It's an upward call to a heavenly destination. Well, how do you do that? Be born again, saved, healed, and delivered. Help others to do the same. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Messiah Yeshua. Hebrews 3:1 refers back to Philippians 3:14. It's a holy calling, according to 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. That right there wipes out the whole job or avocation. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Messiah Yeshua before time began. It's a calling that's filled with hope. Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit, and you were called in one hope of your calling. We are called as believers in Messiah, as believers in Yeshua, to live a life worthy of the calling to him. That's where we started, Ephesians 4:1. I beseech you to walk worthy of this calling in which you are called. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Therefore, we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness, and the work of faith with power. See, for me, this Bible study may never be for anyone else but me. As I went on scripture by scripture and by scripture and tied it all together and built this tapestry of the word for tonight, I began to see a different picture. I began to see why we're so ineffective. I began to see what Satan did and how he did it. Which is why I believe the Lord's kept me on this topic. Which is why I believe he's opening your eyes as to walking in the Spirit, to walking in the things that will help you not only be victorious in your life, but be victorious for the sake of the kingdom. Because many of you are struggling right now with aspects of this world, of your flesh, little things that the enemy has used to beat you down, oppress you, bring condemnation upon you, because he has kept you focused on the little things when you should be focused on the greater thing. For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten, listen to me, and has forgotten he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call, salvation, I'm adding that word in there, and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Messiah. That's the calling. You've been called out of darkness into his kingdom. You've been called into an eternal salvation, an eternal residence with him. But the enemy has made you nearsighted. It's gotten you to focus on, even almost to the point of blindness, your old sins. Right now, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I almost lost the ability to speak in English. Hold on. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, I break this nearsightedness, I break this spiritual blindness, and I speak to you to be whole, to be healed and delivered in his name, that your eyes would be opened, your understanding would be expanded, and that all these nitpicky things of the enemy would leave you. Be diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you'll never stumble. There's an expression just came to me, you can't see the forest from the trees. You've stared so long, you've lost the ability to see. And that's the enemy, he's made you blind. This world has made you blind. We need to be called, we are chosen, we are faithful, we are worthy. Because he makes us worthy. But there will come a time. I don't believe the church will be here during that time, but we've seen an aspect of this in the spiritual warfare we endure of Revelation 17:14, that they will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. You're called to be saved. Listen to me. You are called to be saved. He has called you by name, just like he did Israel, just like he did Jacob, just like he did Moses, just like he did Adam in the garden. Through the cross, through the blood, through the new covenant, you have begun a new, intimate, personal relationship with the creator of the universe as your Abba Father, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. That's Romans 8:30. And the initiative, the stress is on God doing the action. You can't do it. No preacher can do it. No name it and claim it celebrity can do it. The truth is, if you are on a desert island and a Bible rolled up and you started reading, you know, floated up and you started reading it, you started believing and you started praying and you said, I believe, you'd be saved. It wouldn't take anybody on that island to do it. He would do it. The depths of the riches of his wisdom and knowledge of God, unsearchable. It's good stuff. That calling, that word calling is klesis. It's a short form of kaleo, invitation. And you know, we talked about the whole avocation thing, the vocation thing. Over the 11 times that the word calling as klesis is mentioned, 10 of it is calling, only one is vocation. We are divinely called to partake of the blessings of redemption. He called the laborers in 28. He called the servants in Matthew 20, verse 8. Called the servants in Matthew 25, 14. You are called. You're called into a relationship with him. You are called into his embrace. You're called into his throne room. But in knowing all of that, we must walk in the Spirit, in lowliness and humility of mind. See, this is where the enemy tricked everyone, by getting people to focus on their calling and their gifts and how special they were. They lost the humility. They lost the lowliness of mind. The apostles served the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials. Paul mentions in Acts 20:19, by the plotting of the Jews. 1 Peter 5:5, he says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We are called to walk in meekness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's Matthew 5:5. We quote it a lot. One of my early revelations on the word meekness was so powerful. It means controlled power. It's the opposite of pride. And it's not weakness or passivity, but controlled power means like the Lord. He didn't have to let them scourge him. He didn't have to let them whip him and nail him to the cross. But because of meekness, because of the controlled power, he allowed them to fulfill prophecy. Aristotle described meekness as the middle position between excessive anger and the excessive passivity or lack of anger. I don't know about that, but I do know this. Somewhere went from meaning that control, that choice, to being humble and pious. Well, yes, some very meek people are humble and pious. But we saw what the Lord did when he cleansed the temple twice, violently overthrew everything, destroyed things, whipped the sellers and drove them out, and not one temple guard rose up to stop him. I figure they decided best to let him finish. If you can walk in meekness, if you can walk in controlled power, if you can control, if you have self-control, then he will use you and you'll be called blessed. That's what that means. You know, Matthew 5:5 is quoting Psalm 37:11. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So meekness leads to an abundance of peace. And when you look at, you know, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, I always wondered, what did that mean? Well, that control leads to an inheritance. And I believe this is after he returns during the millennial reign of the earth, the ground, and the land. But I also had this light bulb moment today. And what if we walked in complete control, in complete power, the lion and the lamb existing simultaneously, then we would begin to possess the land. See, our Heavenly Father, he identifies with the meek. He identifies with people in need. I said this on Overwatch, and I said it last week, and I'll say it again. What I see happening in California is not God's judgment. And I challenge anyone, nobody's done it, show me Old Testament judgment in the New Testament while the church is still here. I saw a post on a Facebook page of a preacher, teacher, author, and it said God's judgment over California continues. And it grieved my heart. He desires everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to be restored to him. We're not to the point where he says Ichabod and withdraws himself. And even then, he's going to send out the 144,000, and they're going to still evangelize. They're still going to give a call to people. They're still going to be invited into right relationship with him. Our Heavenly Father identifies with the poor and the oppressed. He hears their pleas and he helps them. Why? How do I know that? The Word says it. Psalm 25:9, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. He's not going to teach you the secrets of the throne room if he can't trust you. Psalm 147:6, the Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. 149:4, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the humble with salvation. Well, we know that Messiah had a special ministry to the poor and the oppressed, and he had a special ministry of meekness. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Again, standing on the Mount of Olives, he speaks the word, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. That final burst of the word over the Valley of Armageddon to end the battle. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to what? To preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening a prison to those who are bound. Explain to me how the fire and brimstone preachers on the street corners, with their posters and their placards and their loudspeakers, speaking condemnation and sin and eternal damnation to people who are captive, who are brokenhearted inside, have covered up that brokenheartedness with a specific sin. That does not, their actions don't line up with Isaiah 61:1. They don't line up with Luke 4:18. He wants to heal them, not further break them. He wants to set them free, not imprison them in condemnation and hate. See, that's what we're called to do. That's why I believe the church, during this period of time of the church age, was called to do a job that we haven't done, to preach the gospel, good news, set the captives free. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Colossians 3:12. Paul mentions it in 1 Corinthians. The church in Corinth was out of order. Some really wild stuff was going on. And he says in 1 Corinthians 4:21, what do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and a spirit of gentleness? We know he wanted to come in love. He wanted to come in gentleness. He remembers the religious spirit that he had when he was Saul of Tarsus, that in his effort to serve God, actually served Satan and destroyed and killed and plundered and did everything in the name of religion. Second Timothy 2:25, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Like I said, these lessons today has been a tremendous time in the Word and in his presence. Yes, we are called to move in power. Yes, we are called to do what we're called to do, but we have to do it in love. James 1:21, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Guess what? Wisdom is expressed in meekness. James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show so by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. People that are arrogant in their wisdom, they always rub me wrong. Now I know why. We need to walk in long suffering, walking in the Spirit. You must be long suffering. You must be willing to bear others. It's not easy. Believe me, it's not easy, but it can be done. Love suffers long and kind, and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, we know we read those at weddings, but the truth is he was speaking to the body. He was speaking to the church at large. This is how we are to act. If we're going to love one another, we're going to suffer long and we're going to be kind. We're not going to be envious. We're not going to be arrogant or prideful and puffed up. We're going to bear all things with one another, believe and hope and endure all things. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. What would you rather see? A brother who's out of order, a sister who's out of order, backslidden, suffering, Satan having his way with them? Would you rather see them restored and in right relationship, or would you rather see them judged and burned and destroyed? The answer to that question will tell you whether you have a religious spirit or not. Therefore, as I read this one before, Colossians 3:12, as the elect, as the chosen, as the called out ones, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long suffering. And in doing so, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Preach the word. Know the word. Know him. Oswald Chambers says salvation means the incoming into human nature of the great characteristics that belong to God. And that's what we've been talking about. That's what it's going to take to walk in the Spirit. And if we're going to forbear with one another, we have to do it in love. Forbearance means to put up with, to hold up, to endure. Yes, you're going to get frustrated. And normally you get frustrated with the people that are closest to you. You expect more from them. You expect them to be different. Well, people are people, and they're going to let you down, and they're going to disappoint you. If you put your hope in man, any man, they will disappoint you. We need to bear with one another, forgive one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Messiah forgave you, so you also must do, Colossians 3:13. And we need to do it in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133:1. I don't think I have ever actually felt that for any long period of time anywhere I've ever been in fellowship. Sooner or later, some flesh rises up, the enemy gets into the camp, and something goes wrong. That's why as shepherds of the sheep, you got to be careful to watch the sheep and you got to be careful to look for the wolves. And when a sheep has become infected or sick, you have to tend to it with the oil and the balm of Gilead, but you got to deal with it. We need to become complete. We need to be of good comfort, of one mind. We need to live in peace, and the God in love, the God of love and peace will be with you. 2 Corinthians 13:11. That thing from 2 Timothy 2:22 about fleeing youthful lusts, the things that take down most men and women that want to serve the Lord, is that. We flee it. We run from it to pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Are you struggling right now with something along those lines? Instead of beating yourself up, set your mind, your heart, your soul upon Him. And resolve to not disappoint Him or hurt Him. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, Hebrews 12:14. Psalm 34:14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. James 3:18, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. 1 Peter 3:11, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. See, you have to pursue it. It's not a natural part of our nature and definitely not a natural part of this world. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, and again, part of the reason I am staying on this until the Lord releases me, because He has shown me in dreams and visions what's coming. And it's going to take a body of believers unified to walk in the Spirit, to be able to deal with it, to be able to confront it, and to be able to help those who are not prepared, those that have been made ignorant, either by choice or by those around them who they've listened to. We have got to wake up. And not in some holy role of religious way. What I mean is we've just got to open our eyes and come to our senses and not be overwhelmed by what we see, but to look and not super spiritualize everything either. After 30 years of being saved, I look back when I was immature and I just cringe, and I'm so thankful He was so gracious with me. Yes, the devil and the demons and the fallen are in everything, but I do not have to focus on them in everything. But when I do focus on them, I'm locked and loaded. So let's get it right. Let's understand what the Spirit gave us, the gifts of the Spirit, and understand they came from Him. That all the different types of ministries came from the Lord. And all the activities that function in those ministries with those gifts come from our Heavenly Father, the great I Am, the Creator of the universe, who works all these things in all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together in such a way that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us for the profit of everybody. These gifts is not a place of service. Here's what I mean. The gift is an ability, not where the ability is used. Teaching can be done inside or outside of a formal classroom. It can be done anywhere in the world. Helping can be done anywhere. We have got to stop looking at these things as a job, as an avocation, and just realize that they are all facets of the same Lord. They're all aspects of the Holy Spirit. It's not an office. A spiritual gift should not be confused with an office. First of all, people need to stop moving into offices and just be. Stop wanting to be glamorous. Stop wanting to be special. Stop wanting to stand out in the crowd. The minute you want to stand out in the crowd, I do not believe He's using you. And I am so thankful that at every opportunity that could have happened for me in this mess called religion, He short-circuited it. Every time I wanted that job or that position or I wanted to be, you know, part of a staff or whatever, every opportunity that should have been mine, He made sure didn't happen. Case in point, I think I may have told you the story when I was at Christian Heritage. They had some problems with the youth pastors. I filled in the gap. Got to the point I was more of a youth pastor than the actual youth pastor. And then finally, the job opened up. And I figured, well, it makes sense that they would finally give me the job I've already been doing. I needed the paycheck. I was at church all the time anyway. It would have been just simply putting my name on the paperwork. And they brought in a guy who was absolutely awful at the job. And I took it personally, and I hurt from it many years later when I confronted Shelley about it. He goes, I was going to give you the job. And the Lord screamed at him, don't you dare ruin him. He's mine. And that was the end of that. And I'm thankful Shelley obeyed. I'd have been ruined by the job. The offices of apostle, prophet, he determines who has them. You don't. Nobody else does. Nobody can come up to you and say, I think you are this, therefore I declare and decree it. I'll slap your hand off me, you try to do that. I want it from the Lord, and I want it confirmed in the Word, and I want it confirmed by the fruit of my actions. We, men and women, brothers and sisters, we've been all given a gift and how to serve him, and we will do it in accordance with his word, his will, and we'll do it in order. We've created youth ministries and children's ministries, music ministries. We've created this fractured entity. We've made the church multiple personalities when we're supposed to be one body. We are literally, the word used to be schizophrenic, now they say it's bipolar. I like schizophrenic better. It means a fracturing of an individual personality. If the church ever got its one personality together, if we ever got it together, the enemy wouldn't stand a chance. No specialties, no... That's what I like about home churches. That's what I like about home fellowships. Everybody pitches in. Everybody's doing a little bit of everything. We need to come together. We need to get it right. We need to walk in the Spirit, stop thinking individually and start thinking corporately. Let's start thinking as a body. Let's start thinking as a family. The same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And it's the Lord who decides who's apostles and prophets and an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. But if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we're going to do it ordained and activated by the Lord and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I come to you now in the promises of your word, in the fullness of our relationship with you. I come to you and I'm standing in your throne room, Lord. I'd live here forever if you let me. I wouldn't go anyplace else. To stand in front of you and bow at your feet and hear the angels worship you and the elders cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Over and over and over, be enveloped in that sound and in that wave, that vibrational nature of who you are. But until that time comes, we have to be here. We've got to serve you. We have to love you. We have to love ourselves because you love us. And then we have to love one another because you love us and them. We got to walk in meekness. We have to walk in long. We got to do all these things we talked about tonight, Lord. I hope we get it. I hope we can do it. I believe we can. So touch us right now. To everyone struggling, just reveal to them, Lord, that little string that when they pull it, the whole sweater of bondage just falls apart. That the chains would fall off, that the locks would just dissolve. Show them the root of the weed so they can pull it all out at once. Holy Spirit, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in us and what you're doing with us. And I pray right now that you touch each and every person listening, that you open their eyes, open their mind, heal their hearts, and that we can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. We can rise up with wings as eagles and do what needs to be done. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.
If we want to list every way Spreaker can help podcast publishers, well, we need a podcast of our own. Whether you're in charge of long-running series with extensive backlogs or countless limited series, you can organize and monetize your entire catalog with Spreaker. With Spreaker's customizable publisher plan, you can add collaborators, analyze extensive listener analytics, and even share exclusive content through custom RSS feeds. And that's just for starters. Head to Spreaker.com to learn more. That's Spreaker.com.